What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action, making your local business a third place. If you're unfamiliar with the term third place, as I was before this episode, a third place, as defined by the art of charm, is a welcoming space outside of your home or office that cultivates essential social experiences in the company of like-minded people. This could be your local pub downtown or a local coffee shop where you discuss, for example, the high cost of infrastructure and our cities and towns' inability to pay for its maintenance. As you'll learn in this episode, third places are essential to building strong towns, because they give one of our most crucial community leaders, small business owners, an opportunity to integrate their business with the community. But more so, because these local businesses are our most economically resilient storefronts. To help us unpack this action, I have my colleague, Communications Manager Kia Wilson, on the podcast to discuss what her time as a bookseller at Left Bank Books in St. Louis taught her about making local business a third place, including what building a third place actually looks like, how third places are more economically resilient, and most important, how you can make your local business a third place. Enjoy. Kia, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you, Jacob?
Doing good. How's life in St. Louis?
It's pretty good. You know, we're getting a little moderately freezing weather snap, which is better than the straight up freezing weather we've had for weeks at a time. And as you know, we have a new puppy in our lives, so we're spending a lot of time outdoors. So I am monitoring weather changes like a meteorologist. So I'm happy to be snuggled indoors. My dog is outside kind of hanging out with a stick while we record this. And happy to be podcasting with you. I've been loving It's the Little Things as a listener, and I finally get my shot started. Yeah,
so happy to have you on the podcast. And it's always a joy to have colleagues like you on, not only because you guys are just dope folk, but of course, you have bought into the Strongtowns mission and want to dive deep in relation to different kinds of topics. And my favorite part with having different colleagues on, we get an opportunity to hear about y'all's interests that may not be directly related to Strongtowns on the surface, but whenever we zoom out a bit, actually has a direct correlation to the work we're doing. And that's something we're going to get to do today with the action of making your local business a third place. And listeners, if you're unfamiliar with this term, as I was, a third place is a place where you socialize outside of your home or office. So this could be perhaps your favorite local pub downtown. This could be the library where you find yourself in the middle of spontaneous crossword puzzles with your table mates. And Kia, who we have on the podcast today, I know you have some great experiences with working in third places, going back to your days as a bookkeeper at Left Bank Books. So, bookseller.
Well, a bookseller. I don't want to make it sound like I'm a bookkeeper. Not that good at math.
Well, Kia, to get us started, I'd love to start by just hearing your story. Could you tell us a little bit more about your work prior to Strongtowns that exposed you to this idea of the third place?
Absolutely. And I will say that I like to think of my work as before Strongtowns as direct preparation for my work at Strongtowns. Yeah. I wrote an article for the site, which I am sure you will post in the lead up to the article and the write up and the summary, about how when I worked as specifically an independent bookseller, I was a bookseller before I worked at Left Bank at more of a chain setting, which I actually did not think of as a third place. We can talk about that a little later. I really thought of that as direct training to be a strong citizen to be engaged in conversations about how our cities are built and how our communities work on a little bit more of an abstract level. And I wrote about this in an article for Strong Towns after giving myself a good 2 years of nostalgic distance from when I left the bookstore to when I started working at Strong Towns and followed my other passion in life a little bit more directly, which is cities, as opposed to my first passion, which is books. So I came to bookselling as a writer. If you've been following Strong Towns for a while, you might know that I wrote a novel. It's a real book. It came out in 2016. It's called We Eat Our Own. If you Google me, you'll find a big picture of my head in the New York Times. So that's my one 15 minutes of fame there that I had. I moved to St. Louis, Missouri to attend the MFA program at Wash U in St. Louis, which MFA means Master of Fine Arts in Fiction Writing. I wrote the beginnings of a book while I was there. And when I graduated, I needed a job. And I said, what's the job that sort of is at the nexus of the many things I'm passionate about? And for me, that was bookselling. It really was. Left Bank Books in St. Louis, Missouri has been around for 50 years as of today. Wow. Like this year is their 50th anniversary year. So they were, I guess, 46 years young when I started, something like that, or 45. And it, over the years, has evolved into a true third place. I love the summary that you gave of what a third place is, Jacob, but I might also add that, you know, to underscore it a little bit more, there are a vanishingly small number of places in our communities where you do not work and you do not live, right? Where we can meet other people in ideally a low or no cost environment. Yeah. Anyone can walk into a bookstore. You don't have to shop. We never scared people away who just wanted to come and sit and read on our floor for an hour and interact with your neighbors. That is actually kind of a rare thing. Left Bank Books was a retail store, but most retail stores are not actually third places, yes. Right? Like you don't go to the vacuum cleaner store and it's the Crossroads of America, you know? Like if the widget store isn't also designed to be inviting to the community, even the chain bookstore that I worked in right after I graduated from college, from undergraduate college, did not really encourage itself as a third place. If you sat down on the ground and opened a magazine, they would kind of chase you out of the store because that's prime foot traffic area. And there's, you know, a line queuing up for whatever celebrity cookbook author and they can't have you there. Third places are businesses that I think bring people in a community into a kind of connection that is hard to find outside of, you know, the halls of City Hall and a city council meeting, for instance. Yeah. And it does it in a really special way. So I was there for a little under 4 years. I was the events coordinator, which meant that in my store, I organized about 250 author events a year. We had a huge author event series, both as producers of events in the store and as supporters of other events that were hosted at libraries and the like. We would show up and set up a book table, and that was a big undertaking. So I got to go all over the St. Louis area, to the north side, to the south side, across the river into Illinois. I also had people from all over the St. Louis area coming to me. And it was a really transformative experience that I think perfectly prepped me for the kind of thinking that I do at Strong
Towns. Yeah, that's wonderful, Kia. And you're exactly right describing the third place and how really every storefront isn't best as a third place. I think about back in my times working at Blue Bag Markets, I didn't really want folk kicking at the counter for too long because then we got other folk behind holding their Red Bulls and their Mountain Dews. However, as you mentioned, whenever you're working at the chain bookstore, just because it's an environment where it's meant for browsing doesn't automatically make it a third place. And I imagine it takes much more than a couple couches and chairs to foster that third place feeling. Is that right, Kia? Are there some examples that come to mind from your time at Left Bank Books that can help listeners really understand, say they own a business or they work at a local business, how they can truly foster that sense of a third place?
Without a doubt. So Left Bank had to be very deliberate about becoming a third place, right? Opening themselves up as not only the place where you buy books, which again, the chain store I work at, you could buy books there, but as the event space where you could organize a book club with, you know, the other queer members of your community. And that's where you would meet, you know, your romantic partner. Yeah. To open themselves up as, you know, space for other kinds of organizing events. And then also to do things like, you know, develop relationships with your neighbors. I had probably a few hundred customers whose names I knew, cool. who I knew the names of their kids. They brought their dogs into the store. We were a dog-friendly store. I knew their dogs' names. I knew the schools in the neighborhood because Left Bank did a lot of book drives that would basically, a book drive in a bookstore context means that you say for a certain period of time on a certain day, all sales, a percentage of all sales goes towards a community school. And that, you know, no surprise, brings in the parents of that school into your store. You get to know them. You get to know what kind of books they want their kids to be reading, what kind of pictures they want to see on the pages, that kind of thing. There's infinite examples of ways that Left Bank chose to be a third place. And it does that specifically because as an independent bookstore, it's a matter of survival, yeah. right? You can't just sell books and make it. You have to be a place that is cherished and that is loved and that is more than just the sum of the four walls and however many tens of thousands of books yeah. are on the shelves. And there was a real economic reason to do that in addition to squishy good feelings reasons. To
yeah, do. This is a great shift, Kia, into why did these third places make them more economically resilient? What's your experience with that?
Well, I mean, to take it back to the vacuum store yeah. example, I don't know. Imagine a day where the vacuum store becomes obsolete. You know, where like we've invented self-cleaning floor technology, or you know, Roombas or Amazon has been invented, and we don't have a need for the service that your business is providing, and it has no real worth to the community besides kind of an abstract, oh, I guess I support local sort of a thing. Your store ceases to yeah. exist. Books have competition from all sides. Online retail itself started with the selling of books. So independent bookstores really made the shift to say, you know, what have we always been good at we're going to double down on basically what we can do uniquely that other forms of retail online and otherwise can't. We're going to be third places. Mm. We're going to be community mainstays. And that is it's a business strategy yeah. in addition to being a moral imperative for a lot of these stores. Left Bank absolutely owned the fact that they were politically and socially very engaged. They were the first store in St. Louis to carry Rolling Stone magazine when that was seen in like the early yeah. 70s as really scandalous, a really scandalous thing to do. They wanted to be a space where people who were a little counterculture could hang out. And over time, they started selling kids' books to the kids of counterculture people and expanding and growing and adapting with their community. The other thing about bookstores that I underlined in the article, independent booksellers are different than their chain book counterparts because they are constantly updating their inventory by hand, volume by volume. Every book on the shelves of a independent bookstore is usually hand selected by a person sitting at a desk, sitting across that desk from a sales representative from a publisher, or on the phone with a sales representative from a publisher saying, you know, my customer Marty would love this. You know, there's this kid at Storytime who really likes books about robots. How about we get three copies of that book about robots kind yeah. of thing? So all of their inventory choices are shaped around making them more of a third place business, more directly tailored to the people that walk through that door. And you know them, you have a list of their names in your loyalty program, and it keeps you alive on a business that has really, really thin margins and is, you know, there are much more convenient ways to get your books, but there are very few other places that provide that level of service.
Yeah. You note in the article that for these places to remain third places and to remain economically resilient, they have to be ultra community responsive. Kia, in your experience, is that innate in local businesses? Is that a philosophy that has to be pushed out among all the staff members? What are your experiences with that?
You know, that's a good question. I guess maybe that's my like left bank lens talking. Maybe it's not an innate. There are independent bookstores out there that like are specialty stores and they want to do things for one very specific community, but not necessarily for the neighborhood community. So there are stores that, gosh, you know, like they sell anarchist cookbooks and that's it. they sell like anarchist texts or cookbooks. You know, I can think of a few cookbook stores. If they don't happen to be in a neighborhood where there are a lot of chefs and they're running the cookbook store, they're not going to do so hot. But, you know, I think there's always an element of third placiness to independent bookstores, but not necessarily pursued as aggressively and as deliberately as the store I happen to work in did. But, you know, hey, if you're listening to this and you're a small business owner, steal our secrets, you know, like start looking at your inventory in terms of like, which one of my customers by name would buy this? Who in my neighborhood needs what I'm selling? And if I'm selling something that no one seems to need, get it out of there, return it.
So Kia, you have this wonderful line in your article where you say that your job at Left Bank Books gave you the best training in many aspects of community development and social work, and that you could not have gotten a better education outside of a master's program. That's big. and it's true. I mean, and I think about my times at Blue Bag Market. I mean, all the different kinds of folk that you interact with, all the different stories they have, their struggles, their hopes, their dreams. Whenever we start conversing with these different customers and get to know who they are, like how do we make it evident that this is a third place? This is a place where it's okay to dwell, to tell a long story, to pull the cashier aside and tell them whatever might be on your mind that day. Is that usually obvious within a third place? Or have you noticed that there's certain approaches that businesses can take to really foster those conversations?
That's interesting. You know, I can think of some examples of, I think, what you're getting at. So it's impossible for me to talk about my time at Left Bank without also talking about the Ferguson protests. Mm-hmm. I worked there from 2013 to 2000 and how many years has it been? 17. What happened in St. Louis during that time absolutely impacted the store. We made a lot of national news as a store at Left Bank for clearing out our front window of all books and putting up Black Lives Matter signs to signal that like we were a store that wanted to have that conversation with you. And we had conversations with people who had those signs in their own yard. And we had people who didn't agree with that sign, you know, people of all races who didn't agree with us, those signs, by the way, to be very clear. And we had a lot of staff trainings to invite those conversations and say, here are the books that are going to support that. Here is a free copy of the book for people who can't afford to buy it. We made an effort to do that. So, you know, literally signs in the window, and the kind of sections that we made sure that we included. I mean, you can probably guess that Left Bank was a pretty liberal store, though we did have customers from all over the political spectrum. What we did want to make sure that we fostered was this sense of, this is a place to talk about ideas. Yeah. And everybody has ideas. Everybody has politics. And like, if you don't agree with the fact that we have, you know, a LGBTQ section, let's have a conversation about it. Let's talk about it. We have that section because that's our neighborhood. Yeah. It's shaped around the neighborhood that we're in, frankly. And it's also our staff and the people who shop there more than anyone is the staff. Like, trust me, I spend so much money on bank books over the years. And I still do to this day. Yeah, I think it's just branding identity. It's what signs are in the windows. It's what sections you stock. It's also just making sure that you are putting yourself into conversation in your community. You know, when you talk about, you know, my owner of the store, a woman named Chris Kleindienst, gave a lot of interviews on public radio about like local small business leadership things. You know, she was really, really out there. And yeah, those are the ones that come straight to mind. But also, like, you have a community board outside where you can put up some flyers. You let that customer who says, hey, I make handmade bracelets, can I sell them at your counter? You let her do it for a little while. Yeah. Little things like that.
Oh, yeah. Kia, I love those examples of small businesses kind of reimagining where they exist in the neighborhood. I think about, we have a little corner here called Midway Craft House. It's open till midnight every night. And most of the time, of course, it's your normal corner store. You get your Frito-Lays and your Coke or whatever. But every Friday and Saturday night, it turns into this crazy death metal punk venue. they move some coolers and move the chip racks. And for a couple nights out of the week, yeah, it's a corner store. You get your milk. But it's also a place to see some music. And it's great to see that Left Banks as well is kind of reimagining where they want to exist in the neighborhood. And yeah, we sell books. We help people, of course, improve their knowledge and find new interests. But you know, we're also going to talk about how to be better citizens and how to better engage with one another. That's wonderful, Kia.
You can also like adopt a dog there at one of our dog adoption events and like that kind of thing. Like you really, the sky's the limit. I mean, I think if all you're listening to all of this and you're like, whatever, and you own a business, I would just say, if nothing else, think about the hours that you're typically closed. How can you use that space to insert yourself into the community? If you don't want to change anything about the way that you do things, even down to like, you know, the parking lot, if you have to have a mandatory parking minimum in your area, make sure that if when everybody leaves at night, you open it up to the community group who's meeting in the church next door. You know, like there's just efficiency is part of it, but it's also just thinking expansively, making those small bets like we talk about all the time at Strong Towns into how can you improve the resilience of your business? How can you make yourself a little bit more of an asset to the community? And it doesn't have to cost money. It can just cost opening your doors for a few hours.
Yes, I love that, Kia. I want to expand on that for a bit. You note that since you started working at Strong Towns, you look at economic developments, especially through the lens of small business, as focusing on incremental, ultra community responsive, and constantly making small bets. What does that mean for local business owners hoping to become more economically resilient?
I think it means being creative and paying insane amounts of attention. Paying attention to every time, like first, you don't just stock the things, if you're in a retail context, you don't just stock the things that you like necessarily. You stock the things that are selling. That's just the normal economics of a business. But also anticipate the needs of your community. Anticipate what, you know, Sammy, the guy who really likes classic cars, like maybe he would be a really solid customer of yours if you had a cars and automotive section. Like we had someone like that, who just, he was the guy who bought that section. You know, his name wasn't Sammy, I'm making a name up, but like we, and when he moved, we got rid of that section, you know, like that kind of a thing. Events, I think, are another area where I think you can make small bets and do like pop-ups. This is, you know, another example from outside of Left Bank, but I'm working on a conversation with some friends of mine right now who run a bar, and they don't have a big commercial kitchen. They're not sure they want to make that investment, but they're like, hey, I want to be more of a third place. I want to be kind of a fun branded space for the community. So they've been doing these brunch pop-ups, the themes of which have been insane. They've been like chilies of the world, you know, like what? Or like donuts, like just donuts, piles of donuts, you know, and they're just like bringing in donuts. Yeah. And they're just hosting these pop-ups, like with a different menu style once a week. They get like a local restaurateur to come in and like do all the work. They say like, we don't have event hood, so here's what you can't do. And it's bringing in a ton of business, but it's also branding them as a space that is creative. Their Chili's of the World thing, I think like the International Institute gets a portion of their proceeds and things like that. They're tied to their local area. These are the kind of small bets that like it takes them a day, and you know, like what they would lose if they failed would be not very much. They would have, you know, maybe a little less foot traffic than usual, but it's not going to break the bank if they decided to go all in on the International Chili concept and open a restaurant tomorrow.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right, yeah. Kia. Well, Kia, thanks so much for sharing your wisdom with us. To wrap up the podcast, and this is the question that we end every episode with, How does this particular action, making your local business a third place, make our cities and towns stronger?
I think we've been talking about it in lots of different ways, so I'm trying to think how I would add something to it. I'm so trained to, like, since I work for Strong Towns, to talk in like Strong Townsies all the time. I think third places make our community stronger because first, it keeps the door of your business open and as a community, enduring as a community mainstay for longer. It makes your business stronger in and of itself, and that makes your block stronger, and that makes your entire region stronger. That's one thing. I think it also, being a third place, allows space for civic engagement and the creation of strong citizens, which is so, so, so crucial to building strong towns. You know, like, we would have author events at Left Bank where people would leave saying, I never thought about my city this way. I've never thought about the way St. Louis was built this way. I've never thought about the way our police system works this way before. And those conversations are key. It is really hard to find them as an adult out in the world who's not in a classroom environment that's telling you to do that stuff. Or if you aren't someone who can make it to a city council meeting that meets at 3 p.m. on a weekday, going to an author event at 7 o'clock at night might be your civic education. Yeah. And you're getting it alongside your neighbors who are coming up and they're sitting in those chairs with you. So those are the two things I would point to.
Love it. Well, Kia, thank you so much again. If anyone wants to connect with you online, where can people find you at?
All over the Strong Towns website.
That's right.
So, yeah, my Twitter handle is at Strong Towns Kia, K-E-A, spelled like the Swedish furniture company, not the Korean car, is what I like to say. I send like the lion's share of the emails from Strongtown. So if you subscribe to at strongtowns.org/email, you will hear from me. Though my good friend Jacob, who I'm talking to right now, helps me answer some of those emails. So if you hit reply, you'll get one of the two of us. Gosh, where else? I'm on Facebook, also facebook.com/strongtownskia. I would love to talk to you. Just drop me a line and we'll chat.
Wonderful. Well, Kia, thank you so much again. And we will chat very soon.
Yeah, nice to hear from you, Jacob.
Thanks, Kia. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes. And we will chat next week. See ya.